Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. I'm so happy you're joining us this week. Every week, as you listen to the show, I really hope that you feel my passion that this word change, I think, creates this discomfort in our body, right? As soon as we challenge our comfort zone. So I hope every week as you tune in between my guests and I, that we just provide some tips and strategies and ideas for you to change your mindset, change how you approach whatever it is that you're working on, because the information is great that we share, but I really need you to take something and apply it. Because once we start applying things to our life or the information to our life, results come and the magic happens. So to help you on your journey of change, I have a free gift for you. It's my free communication style assessment. You take a little quiz and you get two reports. One will spotlight your natural superpowers as it relates to communication. And you will also get the lowest report, which is this communication style that is just really kind of foreign to how your brain works. Both you could see the value, right? I want to know my superpowers so I can leverage them, but I also need to be mindful of my blind spot. So please go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA and get your free gift from me. Okay. Today's quote, motivational quote, is by Wayne Dyer. I just love him and I miss him that he's no longer on this earth. And Wayne says, abundance is not something we acquire. It's something we tune into. Now, I'm always excited to discuss financial matters and money, and more importantly, how to accumulate more money to allow abundance to flow to us. And for me, it's both financially as well as creating just a beautiful, thriving life. I believe that we need both aspects of abundance to truly live a fulfilled life filled with joy. Now, an important piece of this financial puzzle comes from learning about the connection between self-worth and net worth, and how to leverage tools from psychology to help us all cultivate an abundant life, including mental well-being, connected relationships, work-life balance, and financial prosperity. Of course, I have an amazing guest today. Joyce Martyr is a licensed psychotherapist, entrepreneur, national public speaker, and a mental health thought leader. She's the founder of Urban Balance, a national outpatient mental health company, and the author of The Financial Mindset Fix, a mental fitness program for an abundant life. So please help me welcome Joyce to the show. Joyce, thanks for being on.
Thanks so much for having me, Connie.
Yeah, important topic, right? This is an important topic. And I think after COVID, Joyce, you know, people took some financial hits, right? People, you know, lost jobs, had to live off savings. You know, I was one of them. My husband lost his job, right? My business basically shut down because I did everything live. And thank God we had savings. But now that savings depletes, what do you do, right? So I think the mindset and the financial picture, right? They're so tethered together. So tell us about you and why do you do what you do? Like, what was the catalyst for you?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, I couldn't agree with you more about your definition of abundance. And also that with the pandemic, which is a global trauma, it's wreaked havoc on our mental health and our financial health. And I'm an impassioned mental health advocate. I've loved being a therapist for almost 25 years, and I find my work emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually rewarding. Yeah. I love to empower people to live their greatest life, to mirror back to them all that's unique and wonderful and amazing about them and empower them to take action. I loved what you said about doing the work so that you can welcome prosperity. And by the way, I mentioned Wayne Dyer in my book because I love his work as well. And I was telling my older sister, Paula, how much I loved Wayne Dyer's work. And she said, you know, I think he was my driver's ed teacher. And I was like, no, he was a world renowned author and speaker. And so to prove her wrong, I Googled him. And he was, in fact, her driver's ed teacher. It was his first job out of graduate school. And he was the school counselor at her high school in Michigan and apparently taught driver's ed. But one of my favorite quotes from Wayne is him talking about taking responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not the weather, your age, the government, whatever that your job that is to blame, you and only you are responsible for every decision and choice you make. So that really ties in with what you said at the beginning about doing the work. And so I do what I do because I want to give people the tools, proven tools and practical strategies from psychology to promote mental well-being and financial prosperity.
Okay. So I want to comment on that. You know, mental well-being, mental health is a big issue. And I don't think just in the United States, I think it's everywhere. You know, mental health is now depression, sleep deprivation, right? We all think mental health schizophrenia, right? Or those where people were institutionalized years ago. Mental health is real. Depression is real. You know, bipolar is real. All of these things that we're struggling with today because of all of these stressors. And the other thing you said that I think I want everybody to really hear this. We have a choice, right? So you, whatever's going on in your life, whatever crossroads you're at, I'm not saying it's easy. Never said it's easy, but it is our responsibility to take control and choose, make a choice, whether you do nothing or you do something, but the choice is yours to make and to really approach it from, like a place of determination or a place of, I'm going to play with this or try this or experiment with this, the application. And I love that you create content information, but then you give them the how-to. So here's the info, right? Here's the concept. Here are some strategies to implement. And that's what this show is all about. And that's why I'm so excited that you're on, because we need tangible things that we can listen to a show, get home and think, oh, I'm going to do whatever that little step is. And those little steps turn into giant steps if we continue to improve our mindset and our wealth set and all of those things that we're working on in our life. The last thing I want to share is a lot of my corporate clients on the corporate side, not my business clients, but even on the business side, the younger business people, in whether it's a career or business owner, they say, all of this is great, but I need money to do it. And it's like, you know, the old question of which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, which came first, the abundant mindset, or did you have money in the bank, right? So what are your thoughts on that? I'm just curious.
Well, I noticed in my practice that as my clients started to make progress in therapy, and it didn't matter if they came in for depression, anxiety, relationship issues, stress, career issues, they started to make more money. And I was like, why is this happening? And I realized it's because we're always working on their underlying self-esteem or self-worth. And when we embrace our worth, we put ourselves out in the world with greater confidence. We advocate for ourselves. We negotiate. We're empowered. We expand our comfort zone. And so there's a huge connection between self-worth and net worth. And Susie Orman saw it as well. In her financial advising practice, she said, self-worth leads to net worth, but net worth does not lead to self-worth.
That's right.
And we all know people with a lot of money who are not happy.
Absolutely.
And so I believe in mental wealth, which is having both mental health and financial health. And thank you. We all have mental health issues, just like we all have physical health issues as part of the human condition.
That's right.
No shame, no stigma. It's a normal response to our stressors and our biochemistry and our life experiences, and help is available and effective.
And help is available. And I think that's the other thing we're talking about this more. And I just like, I really want everybody to be happy, right? And if we could be happy, then other things fall into place. Your relationships become happy. Your work life becomes happy. And then money comes in, right? It's all connected. It's funny. I just had a coaching call with my coach, and that topic came up about what percentage of wealth, and I'm going to talk financial wealth here, is mindset. And what is really just the work, right? Is the hard work piece of it. And we were kind of chatting, and I thought, I think, you know, maybe 80% is mindset work. And that 20% is the execution, going to work, you know, being innovative, you know, just producing, right? Being actual producing. But I think it's the 80% is the mindset. I don't know. Where would you say? I'm just curious, because we just had this conversation. It's so funny.
I wish I could remember the exact quote, but I believe Dave Ramsey said the exact same thing, that 80% is psychology, because we all know the basics of money management, and that we need to earn more than we spend, and we need to save and invest and we need to hustle and work hard, but it's our psychology that gets in the way. And we all have an inner saboteur that, you know, wreaks havoc and causes self-sabotage or self-limitation. So I use tools from psychology to help people shift their thinking from scarcity and negative thinking or catastrophic thinking about finances to abundant thinking that welcomes that life of prosperity. And it does start with working on your relationship with yourself.
Agree. I think it was one of the guys on Shark Tank. I don't watch it, but I don't know. It's a little harsh for me, but anyway, one of the guys, Mark Cuban, I think it was on Shark Tank, and somebody had won the lottery and it was like $70 billion. I mean, whatever. It was just some ginormous number. And it was one person that won. So they interviewed him on the radio and they said, well, what advice would you give to this now billionaire? And basically he said, number one, do not accept the money until you get a tax attorney, not just an accountant or a CPA. You need a tax attorney. And he says, and the second thing is, don't let it out that you have all this money, because everybody and their brother will come from the woodwork, right, to take your money. And he said this, and then they asked about, all right, will this make them happy? And his response was so beautiful. He said, if you were poor and happy before, now you're rich, your happiness is just going to go up exponentially. Good for you. If you were miserable and poor before, now you're just going to be rich and miserable.
Oh my gosh. Misery's
going to follow you, baby. Right?
Oh my gosh. That is so smart. And I want to comment on something you've mentioned a couple of times, which is support. You're so accomplished, and yet you talked about your own coach. And I think similarly, I think we all need a therapist, a coach, and financial advisors, attorneys, business advisors and coaches, and continuing to seek that no matter where we are in our success is so important, so that we can have greater consciousness and greater perspective. And that's one of the mindsets in my book. I have 12 mindsets that are empirically proven to promote mental health and financial health. And one of them is accessing support.
Yeah. And I think we forget about that, right? That we think I'm the only one going through this, which is not the truth, right? We all fall into that negative recording, right, in our brain. If I don't have enough, I can't pay my bills, especially after COVID. I know that, you know, money became a really big issue. Depression went up, alcoholism went up, suicide rates went up. And a lot of times I think it was isolation, but I think it's financial as well. What inspired you to write this book? Because I just love the combo of the money with the mindset.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to let you in on a secret that we therapists specialize in our own issues. So I went through tremendous financial anxiety during the recession of 2008. I was a small business owner in Chicago. And when the housing market crashed, my lending stopped. I no longer had cash flow available. And I laid awake at night, worried how I was going to pay my rent and my staff. And my business partner, who was one of my best friends, left because the stress was extremely high. And a lot of our staff left. And I thought I was going to have to file business bankruptcy. It was really terrifying. And I decided to use tools that I'd learned through my clinical practice to help me turn the ship around. And with the help of a lot of amazing people, I was able to do so and successfully sold my business for a seven-figure multiple several years ago.
Nice.
And I want to share with people what I learned. And so I've been giving a talk for about 10 years called The Psychology of Success. And that's really the thesis of my book. It's these 12 mindsets that I saw after practicing and seeing thousands of clients that lead to successful, happy, prosperous lives.
Fascinating. The mind is really a brilliant tool. And I don't think we know how to tap into it because our recurring thoughts are negative, right? I think this is true, but you could certainly correct me, right? I'm wrong a lot, and I own that. But I think it's been said that the negative rhetoric we play in our brain is literally our brain trying to protect us from the unknown. So as soon as change enters our life, our brain goes into, or ego, if you want to call it, goes into protection mode. Like, you don't want to do that. You don't know what you don't know where that's going to take you. Right. So fear creeps in because, you know, from when the dinosaurs, right, that danger, Will Robinson kind of thing, run. It's the same thing now. And I think our brain tries to protect us and it actually ends up hurting us. I could be wrong.
Connie, you just articulated that better than any therapist I know and than I've tried to do for years. I'm going to have to record this and write that out and quote you because that was brilliant. And you're exactly right. Our negative thinking is an aspect of ego and it's intended to keep us safe, but it keeps our lives small.
Yeah.
And we set our ceilings with self-limiting beliefs. You mentioned Shark Tank, and I want to share a funny story. When I first started my private practice, I had coffee with my friend Steve. And Steve said, Joyce, how much money do you want to make? And this was about 2002. And I said, I'd really like to make $60,000 a year. And he said, 60? Ooh, yuck. I want to make over 100. And I said, do you think that's possible? And he said, of course that's possible. And that year I made 60 and Steve made over 100. And I thought, huh, am I setting my own ceilings by setting a low bar, by just asking for what's going to pay my bills and get me by? Steve went on to win Shark Tank. He's been on Oprah's Favorite Things. He's sold multiple businesses and has an abundant mindset. So I started thinking, I'm going to think like Steve. I've stopped the $60,000 stuff. So every year I've expanded my thinking. And this is not about greed, because when we have more, we can help more.
Yes.
As my business grew, I could offer more jobs, internships, sliding fee counseling, pro bono counseling. So it's about being of service to others as well.
I love it. And that's the abundance mindset. It's funny because my next thing I'm going to manifest is I want to be on a TED Talk or a TEDx. I have a lot to say, thus the podcast, right? But I really, that's my next thing, because I think that I could add, and it's free, right? It's free content, a TED Talk. So I want to amplify my messaging, you know, about sales, so that more people can take some information and then create tangibility that they can add it to their life and their business, right? So I just love that abundance thought process. And funny how you limited and how we each hit what we set our goal at, right? That's the visualization and the positive imagery and all of those, you know, little tools that are out there. So let's talk about the book. I this is such a fascinating topic, everybody. I want to refocus us because the book is important. And to me, that's a tangible tool that everybody could buy, Joyce, and go through those. You said there was 12, right? 12
mindsets. Yes.
Well, can you go through, just list the mindsets for us, right? And then I want to ask after that, I'm going to ask it this way. I want you to share the 12 mindsets. But my next question was, what does it mean to have a holistic view of success? So should we do the 12 mindsets and then what? Because success, that's another one of those intangible words. What does it mean to you? It could mean something totally different than me. But I think it starts with the abundance mindset to shift over to the success. And then we get success both in our soul, right? Happy, joyous. And then you have the financial success as well. So you tell me, where do you want to go with this? Like, what makes more sense from your framework?
Yeah. So my personal definition of success is to live life openly and authentically and courageously with the intention for the highest good for yourself and others to the greatest extent possible. So when we live that greater life, we're going to help ourselves and the world around us. And holistic success, it includes mental well-being, physical health, supported relationships, work-life balance, and financial health. And so the 12 mindsets, and I seem to always forget one when I go through them. So
you have your cheat sheet.
You have to buy the book to hear them all. It's it's abundance, awareness, presence, essence, which is the opposite of ego, self-love, support, vision, detachment, compassion, And resilience, I have 10. So I've forgotten a couple. So you'll have to check the book out to find.
Buy the book and we'll get the 12.
Yeah.
Can I share? I just took a class. A friend of mine invited me to join, which I was very grateful for. And it was Shirzad's training of positive intelligence. And one of the things, and if I could find it, I will. I don't see it here. But he asks you towards the end of the program to have a picture of a baby, of yourself as a baby. And keep it at your desk, keep it in your space so that when you're having a bad day or when you're having that negative record player, look at that picture and say, what would you want that baby to feel? What would you want that baby to think? How would you want people to talk to that baby? Now do that. Right. So you would never talk to a baby as harshly as we talk to ourselves. So I love how you said and I don't remember which one you said, but I thought, oh, that's like when we talk to the baby instead of talking so harshly to ourselves. I don't remember which one. It was one of the early ones that you said.
Self-love is one of them.
And that was it.
It's so funny because I mentioned the baby picture in my book as well, because I've done the same thing. And I would get up, but it's around the corner, my little framed baby picture. And I use it to remind me to advocate for myself. In the book, I talk about, we have to choose not to be our own worst critic, but instead learn how to be our own loving parent, our own best friend and best advocate, and our own positive coach, so that we can develop mental resilience and also financial resilience. You mentioned many of us didn't have that coming into the pandemic. And so we've got to change our financial behavior so that we can weather these types of storms. And so I love that. I love that baby tool. That's so cool.
And it's a simple thing, right? And here's, see, now again, I'm sharing that you have it in the book. It's a simple thing to just pattern interrupt our brain to say, I'm having a bad day and I'm berating myself. Would you talk to a baby that way? Would you talk to your child that way? And the answer is always no. But yet it's okay for you to talk to yourself that way. So these are the little applications that we can do. And I maintain that picture at my desk. It's just a mess right now. You can't see it, thank goodness. But it's a good reminder every day to stop the madness, right? It's a way to help us stop the madness. You know, the psychology of money, you've mentioned it a couple of times. What is it and how can we change? How can we change that to improve the financial life, right? So the psychology of money, hopefully, what are some strategies to help us on the money end?
So our psychology of money are our thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and relationship with money. So according to cognitive behavioral therapy, which is one of the most empirically supported forms of therapy, our thoughts precede our emotions and behaviors. So we need to examine our belief systems about money. What were we taught in our families growing up? What did money mean? You know, were good people thought of, or sorry, rich people or poor people thought of as good or bad? How's that shaping our relationship with money? And then many of us deal with shame or fear or anxiety or catastrophic thinking about money. So I help people use tools for mindfulness practices to learn how to manage your emotions and cultivate some healthy detachment. We are not our financial situation. Our financial situation is how we are. It's not who we are.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to transform it. And so, you know, we are always innately worthy. And then the behaviors, it's financial self-care. Would you want that little baby to have health insurance, a roof over her head, you know, to have retirement savings and, you know, savings in her account so that if she lost her job, she could pay her bills? Of course you would. So why do we sometimes neglect ourselves? And in my practice, I see a lot of us sometimes end up in kind of codependent relationships where we may be giving our financial power away, or we may not be advocating for ourselves professionally in the way that we deserve. And it's not about greed. And I think a lot of women especially are taught to be people pleasers and to not negotiate and not ask for more. And so my book is a workbook. And so there's practical exercises and tools and journaling prompts where you're going to be guided to really look at your psychology of money and then use these proven strategies from psychology to change them. And I have a financial health wheel. I have all these cool wheel exercises, which are part of my favorite part of the book, that are these innovative self-assessment tools where you can identify your areas of strength, just like your tool that you gave out as a resource today. You yes. identify your areas of strength and your areas of needed development.
Yeah. I love that you didn't say weakness. I hate that when people talk about their lack of strength, they say it's a weakness, and I immediately correct them, especially coaching. And I'll share with you just briefly, when my older son was younger, he was in second grade, and the teacher determined he had an auditory processing issue. We had him tested all of that, and he had an IEP, and we would go to the meetings. And at some point, as he got older, he was in the meeting, and he still remembers this. It's so funny. And the person, the caseworker, kept saying, John's weakness, over and over and over and over again. Every time I said, yes, that's an area that he truly needs to develop. Yes, that's an area he's been working on throughout the entire. And I thought she never picked up. And here she was, a professional. It frustrated me. I was really upset because he was there listening. And I thought, he keeps hearing the word weak, weak, weak. He's not weak, right? He's thriving. And to this day, he's now 25. College degree, you know, good student, played hockey in college, like thriving kid. And they'll say, Mom, weakness. We don't like that word. I go, no, we don't, right? That we don't use that word weakness, right? So isn't that funny how I just picked that up from you? Because if we don't have weaknesses, we have areas that we need to address, work on, develop. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what your book is about, to help us get rid of those blind spots, right? Other thing I wanted to comment on, you were giggling about me having a coach, and I tell my clients, you're a coach, you need a coach, whether it's me or somebody else, but I would never hire a coach that isn't being coached, because if you think you don't have blind spots, you're not the person for me, because we all have blind spots. And I think that's another an important thing. What you're doing is trying to help us identify our blind spots so that we position ourselves in a position of power versus a victim, right? That's kind of what I heard. Is that right?
Yeah. And that's what the awareness chapter is. It's helping us realize our denial, our defense mechanisms like rationalization and intellectualization, and how that causes self-sabotage. And I thought of another one of the chapters, it's responsibility. And that starts with the Wayne Dyer quote, and is about not blaming others, you know, our parents, our past relationships, the economy, whatever, but taking personal responsibility for our happiness and our financial health.
Do you find when, especially because you're talking about two important things, right? Mental health, physical health is important as well, right? But mental health and financial well-being. And I love how you connect with the mental health, right? The self-worth creates the net worth. So I just love that phraseology. But when you're talking to your clients, do you find that a lot of times they say things like, well, I don't have a choice, or, you know, I don't have control over that. Do you hear that a lot from your clients?
That's I tune into that negative thinking, and that's about disempowerment. And in psychology, that's called locus of control. And we can have an external locus of control that everything else determines our course in life, or we can have an internal locus of control that we are an agent of change and transformation in our life. And obviously, it is more empowering and healthier to have an internal locus of control. And so obviously sometimes if people have been through trauma, normal response to have an external locus of control. So it's important to do that inner work and healing, and then really take the reins of your life. And we're all works in progress. None of us is perfect.
Yeah.
I want to remove shame and stigma from mental health or financial struggle and give people tools and support to grow and learn new skills and relate to themselves more compassionately and learn how to take better care of themselves financially.
Yeah. I'll tell you, recently I had met someone, she was on my show. It was a female. I can't remember off the top of my head, but she was in a miserable marriage. From the outside looking in, the big house, you know, she had it all, like the biggest house on the block, was shopping all the time, buying all the time. And she's the most had tags on it in the closet. She was filling a void because she was so unhappy, right? And they had all this money. She walked away, literally lived in like a studio apartment. It had gate walked away from everything because the husband had all the money. And she stepped out of that life and went and got her MBA and started talking about wealth. And now she's a millionaire on in her own right, has married the right man who adores her. Right. And you have all of that whole shift, but she made a conscious decision. It was a tough decision to walk away from the life of glamour and literally went into poverty. So her and her family, this is fascinating because you talk about support. Her family was like, what's wrong with you? Stay in the miserable relationship. You're going to be eating dog food. Right. And she was like, I can't do it anymore. It was soul crushing. Right. So that she reached the point where she couldn't take it anymore. But do you find that a lot with your clients too, that they get to that pinnacle point of, I just can't do it anymore?
Yes, absolutely. In many different ways. And, yeah. And I share in the book as well, my personal story. I'm a person who went through divorce as yeah. well. And, you know, and it's interesting that you use that word kind of like, I think you said soul crushing or something. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was dealing, like experiencing a psychological death in that relationship. And, you know, I thank God for that relationship and for my children, and it yeah. was a successful partnership for many years, but sometimes we need to be willing to take courageous change, create change, like you started this out with, so that we can live our lives in a way that's authentic and aligned with who we truly are. And that scary change. Now my ex-husband is married to someone he's much happier with. And so aww. Am I.
Yeah,
and our kids are happy. Right, exactly. So, but sometimes people need to leave the golden handcuffs of a job that they hate, yeah. But might be really high paying in order to do what they love. And I believe that you can have financial prosperity doing what you love. My first day of graduate school, the professor at Northwestern said to the psychology students, he said, well, you certainly didn't go into this field for the money. And I thought, uh-oh, I've got major student loans to pay back. And how am I going to support myself? But if you love what you do, you will figure out how to prosper.
That's right. It's funny. I get asked that all the time. You know, you know, you're successful and do you like what you do? And I think if I couldn't do this, I don't know what I would do. I'd be so miserable because I love what I do, right? You love what you do. This is what we're meant to be, to do, to share, right? Whatever that is. And it's funny because I think now that after COVID, you know, all bad things, again, I send love to anyone who lost a loved one. But on the flip side of that, I think it helped us realize how to leverage technology. Like my parents know how to Zoom. They're 91 and 92. Like what?
Awesome.
Yes. Isn't that the coolest thing? So, you know, we had to help them, but they can do Zoom and they understand. We bought them an iPad. My nephew has a little boy, JJ, down in Tennessee. So we don't get to see him. My mother lives with that iPad on her so she could see all the updated photos, and they take so many because they know my mom and dad are tuning in. So I think we all as a global society had a little bit of a shift from using this technology, and now we can impact. You talked about impacting bigger, right? And making a bigger impact to do more like pro bono work and stuff like that. I think the technology has allowed us to do that, you know, during COVID. One last thing, we're out of time, but I really want you to share, who do you think would benefit from this book? Is there a certain person? Is it a certain situation? Just because Christmas is coming, guys. Good stocking stuffer, the book.
Anybody who wants to improve their financial health or their happiness. It's really great for business owners or entrepreneurs or people wanting to move forward in their careers. I've had a lot of people say it's a good adulting 101 book for people yeah. in their 20s because it teaches skills that we probably should have all learned earlier in life. So I think that's a good age group, and it's never too late. I've had people in their retirement years use the concepts from the book to create the next chapter of their life. Yeah. So I hope it helps many people. I'm super happy and excited about it.
I think it will, Joyce, because here's the cool thing. I think people are so aware of the mindset shift, right? That's kind of happening globally to some extent. And let's continue to hope the light workers, you know, penetrate all of the, you know, nonsense that's going on in the world, right? The not good stuff going on in the world. But I think financial well-being is important as well, because I really do think most of us want to do bigger and leave some type of legacy. I don't mean financial legacy, but some type of legacy. Even if you do volunteer work at the Boys and Girls Club of America, where years later you're gone and they're still talking about the impact of what you did or how you helped them. I think a lot of us are looking for that. And this is such a beautiful, it's a book with tools that you can apply. And, you know, it's so funny. I'm going to get two of your books for my kids. I'm going to put it literally in their stockings. They'll be like, Mom, really? Because, here's the thing, Joyce, I believe, and I see this with my kids, but I see this with my friends' kids. And I see this with my clients, especially on the corporate side where they have a lot of new entry level people. They are very courageous and open to this concept of mind, body, spirit creates the life that they desire. So I have a lot of these young people who talk about the universal laws, right? And who talk about mental well-being and, you know, all of these pieces of the puzzle that we're kind of hitting on today. So I think your book really needs to get into the hands of, you know, our kids, right? Our peers who have kids, you know, in their 20s or 30s should be reading this book. And then again, as a business owner, to read the book, and the list goes on. So I wish you, first of all, everybody should read this book. I wish you so much success. I love that you created and took the time to write this book out of your passion, because I do think it's going to help a lot of people. And that's the magic, right? That's the magic that that I kind of talked about at the beginning. Again, guys, the book, The Financial Mindset Fix, A Mental Fitness Program for an Abundant Life. I will put that in the show notes, of course. If you have questions specific for Joyce, you can email her at joycemartyr.com or go to her website, joycemartyr.com. Again, I will put that all in the show notes. Joyce, thank you so much for being on. Sharing your zone of genius is just amazing. And, you know, two great topics. I love talking about mindset. And I love talking about money. So to me,
thank you so much. Honey. Yes. I adore you. And I'm so happy to have met you. And I think we're extremely like-minded and I could listen to you forever. So I'm tuning into your podcast from here.
You made my day. Share the podcast. Right? We're going to get it out there.
Sure.
The other thing I was thinking, and again, I know people laugh when I do this because I put them on the spot right on the show. Like, you can't say no. But I would love to do almost, I don't know if quarterly will work or semi-annually, but I think this is such an important topic. So as people buy the book, read the book, apply the book, I'd love to share the feedback and maybe some success stories, because as people hear stories, they think, ooh, that's me, or ooh, that's my sister. Let me share the book with them, right? Or let me share this podcast with them. So I just think people relate to stories, especially when you have a successful outcome. I don't know. Are you game for something like that?
I would absolutely love that. Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but that's the Jersey in me. Like, say yes or no, it's okay either way. Right. But no, here's the other thing. My clients tell me, Connie, nobody ever says no to you. I go, that is true. Anyway, Joyce, thank you so much for being on. I love this conversation. And again, we have to do another show or two on this because, it's important. And I think people need help with it. And I like tangible results. I mean, I like tangible tools to generate the results that we're all seeking. So the book, easy peasy, right?
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, a real pleasure having you and seeing you again. Yeah. And thank you all for joining me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. No matter what change you're going through, my guests and I, we have you. We really do have your back. We're here to help you. And we hope that you take the ideas, strategies, tips, stories that we share in a book like Joyce is offering today. Use it. Create the change in your life. I'd love an email when you share, you know, what's going on and the success that you're having. I love reading those emails. That makes my day. I know I'm a dork. I need to get a life, right? So keep those emails coming in. I love reading them. Reach out to Joyce, check out her website, buy the book, all of the above. Create the change you're looking for in your life. Create the magic that you're looking for. And we should all be rich and both in family life as well as mental health and as well as financial. So again, so happy that you're here, Joyce. So happy that you've all tuned in. Thanks for tuning in to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I truly am honored to have you on this journey of change with me, and honor that you spend the 30 or 40 minutes with me every week. I truly appreciate you, and I wish everybody a great week. Thanks so much.